WinEssential with your hosts, John Coos and Scott Martinez.
All right, well, welcome to the first episode of WinEssential. I'm here with my co-host, Scott Martinez.
Hey there, it's Scott. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, man?
I'm good.
Yeah? First weekend after of 2021.
It is. It is the first. How was your New Year's? Everything good?
It was as boring as any other night.
Yeah, New Year's is not the most exciting thing. All right, let's get down to it.
So we
grew up in the 80s.
You grew up in the 80s and
in Orange County. Orange County.
West Garden Grove, which is not a city, but it's a place. It's a destination for sure.
The designation of one side versus the other.
Yeah. When we were growing up, I was once accused by kids who grew up in other parts of Garden Grove as the snobby part of Garden Grove. Like it's some kind of Bel Air or something like that.
Right. Which it wasn't, but it was definitely not the other side of Garden Grove.
That's for sure. Gosh, hell no. But
not that it was that much better in other ways. Only saying that, you know, the conservative side of where we lived was quite strong.
I suppose so. It was a different time. Yeah. Everybody was pretty much probably almost all the parents on our street were probably Republicans almost.
Right.
Engineers and professionals and whatnot. But you know, we're doing this podcast because Scott and I have been it's friends since before
each other.
You can kind of remember not being
obviously since we knew each other. But yeah, I mean since before we knew each other or
as long as we can remember.
That's what I was gonna say.
Grew up on the same street, six houses down. I was born at the end of 1969, and you were born at the end of 1970. So by the time
there was a little gap there where I didn't exist and you did.
I know. You always tell me every year that there's like a month that I'm the same age as young as you.
Yeah,
which is, you know, now I guess 50, and I'm 51, but. You know, growing up in the 80s and in that whole time frame, I look back at it fondly, but, you know, I guess we always kind of look back at life with rose-colored glasses. But.
Right. Well, time heals all wounds, they say. So I guess no matter how bad it was, never as bad as it seemed.
Yeah, I suppose so. Words to live by. I mean, if you think about it, you know, we both our ages really are like lined up with the decades. So, you know, at the beginning of the decade, we're like 10, 11, and at the end of the decade, we're like 19, 20. And, you know, so, you know, in that time period, you know, it's kind of your formative years.
Well, it is kind of funny because having a brother who's several years older than me, you know, his time frame was different. And though we listen to the same music eventually and whatnot, he has a lot of things where he looks back at such bands as the Rolling Stones or whatever, which I have no fondness towards because they weren't my generation of music.
Right. No, it's funny how that those kinds of things run together. Like, I mean, we can talk about that. It's good. It's a good segue actually into sort of like the street we grew up on and our influences. And, you know, I grew up in a house with just one sister who was 4 years older and parents, and you had a sister that was like 5 or 6 years older, right?
Yeah, she was like 5 or something.
And your brother, like, I guess we can like say 8. His name, Joe. Yeah. I mean, you graduated in 89. I think he graduated in 81.
It's possible. I don't know any of that stuff. Well, like, I couldn't officially tell you how old he is or how old my sister is or anything like that. I don't keep tracking that stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was unfortunate. I didn't have an older brother, but, you know, I remember your first bedroom was you just mentioned the Rolling Stones. I remember kind of how cool it was, like, back then, to like all these, his walls, I guess your walls, but you kind of like had no choice. Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Yeah. You had Led Zeppelin and Rolling Stones and a bunch of surf, pictures and stuff. It was really cool. But then later you got kicked out, I guess. And
he became an adult where he needed his own space. Not that he wasn't.
Teenager. Well, it's kind of hard when you're 17 to share a room with a 10-year-old, I suppose. But
And it's funny because we would have had the room had they not. Well, I guess they didn't convert that room into the giant room with the bar in it. But that was essentially a bedroom to begin with. And then that whole thing in the backyard is an expansion of that room.
Right. And I don't know if that original first part of that room was a bedroom or it was like a family room. I guess it was a bedroom, huh?
Yeah, because
it had a closet.
Right. And when you walked in to the house in general, there was the dining area, whatever. And then there was that wall, which doesn't exist anymore. And then a whole other space where the fireplace was. And I'm figuring that's where, you know, essentially where the TV and all the stuff would have gone and it had the house been redone.
Yeah. And I think that's funny because I think both of our families were not the first owner of those houses. I think they were the second owner. So you guys, did your dad build that addition or was it already there?
I think it was already there. I can't see him building a bar.
It was a pretty extensive bar. Whoever lived there, that was like a centerpiece of the house.
Yeah, there was photographic proof that they used it once or twice, but it wasn't really their thing, I don't think. So I don't know that he would have spent that money. Is it still there? No.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's gone.
He demoed it?
Yeah. The whole room is all one room now.
Oh, okay. Got it. Like,
there's nothing. Like, even then, there was some sort of weird thing in the middle before you got to the bar area that showed that there was a room there previously. Like, it was two spaces. And now it's all one big space.
Yeah, right. Well, I haven't been inside. You know, my sister and I sold the house after my mom died, 20 years ago? But my dad built an addition. I mean, these houses were not that big to begin with. I mean, I think the houses were like 1,350 square feet or something before the addition. So these weren't, even though we were living in the rich part of Garden Grove, for sure, they weren't exactly palaces, you know, but they were for us, I guess, you know. But my dad's addition actually was funny because if you remember it, you know, it used to be the backyard. I don't know if you remember when it wasn't there because I think he built that like at 75 or 4. Or
yeah, I don't remember. I just remember there's like an extra half a room.
But there was a chimney. Well, the backside of the chimney was in the room because that used to be the backyard. Right. And so it's like, why is that chimney there? Like, why is the chimney inside the house? But yeah, anyway.
Oh, I get it now. So all that was the whole room was an addition?
Yeah, that was all the backyard.
I see. I definitely took a big space of the backyard. So then that makes more sense to what I was saying before, that the one room that the bar was in was just a room because, you know, the fireplace was in the other
place.
So, yeah. So it was just a room. But, yeah, okay. I didn't realize that was all. Addition.
I guess your house was probably a four-bedroom then before they converted that.
Right.
Yeah. I can't remember anybody else on the street that had one like that. I don't remember. I always try to find, like, go to people's houses and go, is this the same floor plan as mine? Because I think there was only, like, four or five different floor plans, like, throughout the entire development. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but, like, you know the ditch? We could talk about the ditch at some point. But the ditch behind our house that ran east-west all the way over to Pacifica and everything, everything south of that dish was a development called Garden Park, and everything north of that was pretty much called Eastgate. Did you know that?
I obviously I know that Eastgate exists because that's
because Eastgate.
That's where the Lodies went at the Eastgate Park.
Oh well, yeah, and they had the community pool.
Yeah,
which was famous for
the people, but that little space where the tables were, where all the Lodies hung out at Eastgate Park.
Oh really?
Yeah, the cover, and then those tables that was.
Yeah. There was a cover over it or something like that. Yeah,
that's where the Lodies would hang out.
That's true. That's true. So, So
I'm wondering if these terms are just our terms, like Hessians. People didn't call people's Zenville music Hessians everywhere, I don't think.
I don't know. And for those who don't know what a Hessian is, I guess it's like a derogatory term for a person who enjoys heavy metal music, right?
Yeah, at the time, that's what it was.
Exclusively, I guess. With Def Leppard concert t-shirts and all that stuff, right?
Well, the half sleeve tees.
Oh yeah,
that was the mark of a heavy metal t-shirt, wasn't it?
I thought they were like baseball sleeves. I was like,
right. That's essentially a half sleeve. The baseball sleeve. It's not a full long sleeve shirt. It's not a short sleeve shirt. It's between the two, which is half of a sleeve.
That's true. Well,
that was the mark of a heavy metal shirt.
I didn't have any.
I didn't have any either. Like none of my Cure shirts or Depeche Mode shirts. They were all short sleeve or long sleeve, but nothing between.
And paper thin. Like they usually disintegrated at some point.
Well, I wore them until they disintegrated for sure.
Well, I think you also had a do you still have that California Angels?
I do. T-shirt? I still have the Angels, like the 86 Champions shirt, and then the older one.
You have that one still?
With the mesh. Yeah, I have them both still, the mesh.
I think I borrowed that one for a couple years. I took it to Mexico like one time, when I was 17. It's blue, right?
The 86 one's blue. The mesh shirt one's red. 86 Champions one is blue.
Well, they probably still fit you.
They do fit me.
I
can still wear them.
I don't think I could pull. They're like larges or mediums or something. I could never fit in that now. But, oh, well, yeah. But, no, growing up on our street, we're not going to – some of the people that we might reference. But I think it's fair to say kind of like – that our street was kind of like a microcosm of like this West Garden Grove place, because like I think everybody was like all the parents were all kind of the same age, more or less. They all kind of were young professionals in the 60s. All of them came from somewhere else because I don't think before like 1960 any of this existed. So like there was just a lot of kids because these were young parents, you know? And I think, and you say you don't remember this stuff, but like, I think at one point or another, like there was like an AS, you know, Pacifica High School president on the team. And like our sisters were in like, you know, color guard and drill team, I guess you'd call it tall flags. My sister was in, but there was like football players and there was kind of like every kind of person on our street, right?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like going back, like you don't go back to the street as often as I do these days.
I know, because your dad still lives, your parents still live there, right?
Yeah. But, you know, it's changed. I mean, some of the houses look different, and there's definitely new people that live there. But the feel of the street, I mean, I guess it's changed in a way. It just feels more even, or maybe it's just kind of older. I feel the conservative vibe that I didn't necessarily feel growing up. Like when I was going on the street, it all existed, but I guess I wasn't that political to begin with. But you go there now, and it's very, very seems like Orange County.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't think. I mean, I mean, you're right. I don't go there. Like,
you know, people have their golf carts. They drive around the street and whatnot. It's
like, what? Really?
Yeah.
They go to like the store in them and stuff.
They probably do go to the store in them and stuff, and they drive up and down the street in them and whatnot. It just seems very Orange County. You know, people have their like, don't, my other dog is a gun or whatever.
Don't tread on me.
Yeah, like, take one step on my property and I'll shoot you or something.
Well, are you painting sort of this reactionary world where people like have armed arsenals and they're ready to
they have guns. You know, they're very pro gun and they have guns, and you know, there's signs out there that say stuff like, whatever, you step in my backyard and you will be shot, but not necessarily that specific. Really? That specific, but it's like, I'm not a youth to use my gun, so don't.
Well, I think it was always conservative. I mean, going back, I mean, my dad, I remember, you know, he was a Republican. I don't think he'd be down with Trump, but you never know, I suppose. I mean, it's been 30 years since he died, but like, you know, he was definitely a Republican, but I don't think they were like crazy people. They were professionals that wanted lower taxes, for example. You know, like your dad and my dad both were engineers. That whole kind of category of people tended to be somewhat conservative. I mean, at least with, I don't know, but I never felt it either. I never felt like a big divide between people. I don't know if there was. I mean, I don't know. I have no idea.
That's the thing. Like,
maybe it was because we're kids.
But going back, like when Prop 8 was a thing, there was every single, like, it was like the no gay marriage thing. Every single lawn practically had, like, no, this isn't going to happen. Gay marriage is not going to happen.
Oh, got it. Well, I mean, it's funny you say that. I mean, we're kind of diving into politics, but I remember what my first year of voting was when I was 18, which was the 88 election. So you barely missed that one, I think, because I turned 18 in 87. And you probably just missed it by days because you would have turned
18 November.
In November. And there's no way that the election would have been on November 1st because it's always the first Tuesday after the first blah, 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 Monday of November. But like, I remember there was a proposition on the ballot to quarantine AIDS victims. Like they had to like lock them up. Like they couldn't leave the house. Like it was on the ballot, but I don't know how it voted in Orange County or in our neighborhood, but it failed luckily because it probably would have lost in the courts anyway, but I remember sitting around a neighbor's table and they were talking about voting yes on it. Like, I was like, really? I mean, it's okay. But yeah, it was pretty conservative back then. But anyway, I mean, going back to like the beginning, it's like, it was I think one thing about the 80s in terms of growing up in that era is that it was kind of a simpler time in the sense that, I mean, just a few years after the 80s, the internet came along and, you know, we had nothing. There was no internet. There was nothing. It was like, you know, we got video games or computers or whatever, and we can get into that maybe in another episode but we kind of had to find things to do. Don't you? And right?
Right. I did with my pencil neck baseball.
Well, you were always pretty good at keeping yourself occupied. What do you think that came from? I mean, it was.
I've got a creative mind. I do like, you know, I think about things and I've got a creative mind. So,
if you do say so, your damn self.
If I do say so, my damn self. I mean, the other day here and now, you know, the girls wanted to go see snow or whatever. And I don't know with these times, I don't really like going to crowds in general. I don't think it's a smart idea. Mm-hmm. And so I took their snow cone maker and we made snow because it just shaves ice. And so I just took the lid off, and it snowed, and we had snowball fight. And so I can come up with random ideas to keep entertainment going that are just creative in themselves.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, people don't know what the heck we're talking about probably when it comes to this pencil thing, but I mean, I'll do my best to describe it.
You could do the outsider look. I could tell you what it really was.
So, and I obviously witnessed it a lot. So, you know, I could come over, maybe I slept over, whatever. And, you know, you might have been in the middle of a game, let's say, if I came over and you had like these pencils, which back then there were these pencils like you could buy a pencil set that the pencil itself said like Los Angeles Dodgers or Atlanta Braves or Milwaukee Brewers or whatever, or even football ones too, like Bengals or whatever else.
Right. They're just fancier now than they were then. A certain color and it said the name on it.
Yeah, not a lot of people are using pencils. Yeah, but not a lot of people, unless you're an architect or an engineer, there's not a lot of people using pencils at all anymore. but at any rate, you had these pencils and then you had a pink, and you would have, I mean, you would have, I think, two in your fingers, like in a way that they would be, you would like have them almost like a person. One pencil was like a person and the other pencil was like a baseball bat. And you would flick, and then you would throw yourself with the like your left hand a ping pong ball, and then you would hit it, and then the ball would go somewhere, and then in your mind you would run around the bases and try to. I mean, it was almost like kind of strange because it's like you're playing against yourself. Am I kind of getting close here?
Yeah, but the other hand was a fielder too. It was ready to field the ball when it got hit.
Oh, that's right. So you know, there's another pencil.
There was a pencil. Yeah, there was a pencil out on the mound, represented the whole other team. And right. So when the ball got hit, I was ready to field it with my hand. And then that guy had to run, and he was. I'd be able to throw the ball with one hand and catch it with the same hand. I'm like pretty amazingly coordinated.
Do you still play that?
I haven't played in a long time, but I could.
You remember the rules?
I feel capable of pulling it off still.
Well, it's funny because it relates to. Wiffle ball, which we'll get into in a second, in the sense that, you know, I don't know if you ever tried to like incorporate me into it. I think it was just, you knew it was just impossible to like, it was almost like a game of solitaire in your mind. And there's no way to like play with another person, right?
Wasn't really a way.
That was, and you did it on the couch, but like, would you do it for like hours?
I could do it on the floor. I played soccer, I played football. I played any sport you can think of practically. Not tennis or anything, but soccer and football and baseball.
Not tennis. Definitely not tennis. But, well, that reminds me, and it goes back to something I said on that, anyway, that video thing, is that, so fast, go down the street. And I don't know what year we probably, I would imagine we probably started playing wiffle ball in, I don't know, 1980, 81 maybe, like we were 10 or 11, because I remember... So just, you know, imagine, you know, well, you know, the street, but, you know, my front yard, and we had this goal post at the end of it, which my dad built, which was not a full size goal post. It was probably only like, I don't know, 7 feet wide.
When you say goal post, you mean a soccer goal post?
Soccer goal.
It was more square than rectangular, like a real goal.
And I think that was because I was I guess I was in soccer, and I guess. My dad never said, "Dad, I wish I had a goalpost." One day he just like built it. He wasn't a big communicator. And, but I think we had the net up, played it a little bit, but I can't even really remember playing soccer with it because it was kind of easy. Because if you're standing in a goal that's only like 6 feet tall and 6 feet wide, it's not a lot of goals are going in. Right.
Right. I mean, it's easier to definitely easier to stop it. But when the ball's coming at you really fast, you have to be ready to put your body in front of it.
True. But that's where we played wiffle ball, and we would stand. That would be kind of the batter's box and home plate. And that was kind of like a game like.
Right. But To set it up, really, you got to set up the fact that your lawn itself is very rectangular.
True.
With a sidewalk in the middle of the field. So there wasn't really that much space for it was just a big rectangular piece of grass with a goalpost. So when we were playing baseball, it's not like, you know, the bases were like, it wasn't even a diamond. I don't know. Like third base was a tree.
Third base was a pine tree in the right of way.
On the other side, on the other side of the sidewalk.
And first base was a crack, maybe. Right.
So it wasn't that often, considering we were right-handed, and the street was on that side of it. Most of the balls we hit went nowhere near where we were. Like, sometimes you hit the ball straight to the pitcher, and sometimes you pop the ball up. But it was mostly when we were batting left-handed that we would hit the ball anywhere near. Otherwise, you pulled the ball into the street.
Yeah, and we had, I think, limitations on base running advances based on how far the ball might have gone or something, right?
Yeah.
Because it was just endless. And then on the if you were batting left-handed and you pulled the ball, you know, we had that whole thing where if it hit the next-door neighbor's fence, it was, I think, a home run. But if it went over the fence, it was an out because it was such a pain in the ass to get it back.
Right?
Something like that. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a game that, like, sort of like the pencil baseball thing where that was solo, but this was like us because it was the rules were entirely designed around just being one person versus another. And if somebody happened to be in the neighborhood, like we really couldn't play like the same. It was kind of like a bummer. Let's not play this because it just wasn't the same. Right.
Right. I mean, the lawn set up at my house was the same pretty much as yours. Whereas next door, the Browns, they had a big lawn.
True, but they had this. Those brothers also, and who are older, they not much older, but you know, like our sister age and brother's age, they had their own two man game too, and they really didn't want to play with anybody else either. I don't think, did they?
I suppose, but their rules could be different because the fact that it was easier to hit the ball to the person because it was. There was a big, vast area of grass that you'd hit towards versus where we had it. We were parallel to the street, and 90% of the time we hit the ball into the street, pulled the ball between the tree and the pitcher.
Well, if it went left of the tree, it was a foul ball, right?
Right.
Yeah. I don't even know if they ran the bases. They might have just
pH thing, pitcher's hand.
I don't know what that meant.
With us, when you hit the ground ball and I was able to field it, I had to throw it at you to get you out.
Yeah, pretty clever. Yeah, that was, there was no other way. Yeah.
Well, that was the thing with ours, I think, too, is when you hit the ball into the street, I had to run and get it and throw it in before you got to second base, and it was a single.
Right.
And before you got to third to hold you to a double.
It was only like three strides between bases, too.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Yeah, I know. That was. Anyway, and then we would play with routinely, we would play Angels versus Brewers, right?
Yeah.
And the whole lineup.
And if they were left-handed, you had to bat left-handed.
Of like the 82 team, I think. Mostly the 82 team, I think. Well, around that time, right? So, like, Rod Carew would bat. You'd bat left-handed.
Right. And I'd hold the bat all Rod Carew-ish.
Yeah, yeah. And Brian Downing-ish. And Dan Ford-ish. I don't know if Dan Ford was on that team, but you would do that. I think you were initially always a better – you might have been better left-handed than I was. I can't remember. But thank goodness there wasn't that many left-handed batters. But I think it was more fun with the left-hander, so – because
we lost track here too with the goalpost.
Well, the goalpost
was such a part of the game itself.
Because why? If it went outside the goalpost, it was an out.
It was a ball.
It was a ball. Yeah, yeah.
But if you got hit by a pitch, it was a ball too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
But, I guess we weren't that great a pitcher, so we hit each other enough times to where it didn't make sense to give a base every time.
True,
We had a lot of great curveballs and stuff like that, and that essentially could hit with a wiffle ball. But yeah, it was a ball if you got hit by the pitch.
Well, it was that wiffle ball that had the holes on just one side that would curve a lot, right? Or would, I don't know. Yeah,
I think that one curved a little better than the one with all the holes on it.
Yeah, I think so too. But do you remember?
It was a wild pitch. That's what it was. It was a wild pitch.
Oh, it went outside the goalposts.
I think that's what it was. The ball doesn't really make that much sense. Obviously, it was a ball.
True. But so back to this ditch thing. I mean, I think we got busted a couple times, but it seemed like there was this giant, drainage ditch. What do they call it? Flood control behind our house that ran the length of whatever, West Garden Grove. And then it made a curve down at the end of the street and headed south. But what was the draw of going into the ditch? Is because we just needed something to do?
Well, there was polywogs in there and...
Oh, yeah.
And frogs and stuff like that to look at. It was illegal. It was against the law. So that was in itself a draw.
Is trespassing?
It was trespassing, yeah. I mean, vicious law that we broke there, but yeah, it's trespassing. So that was something. But mostly I think there was never any good going on when you went to the ditch, though, was there?
Anything usually good going on?
I mean, I guess if we're just looking at polywogs, it's not a destructive. I mean, we definitely found a spray paint can at one time and spray painted at the end where the curve was. Oh, yeah.
Did we? Well, there was a lot of graffiti under that little tunnel, but.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we brought the spray can ourselves, but we found one and we used it.
Did we use it? Like, did we smear somebody's name or something? Or say that somebody's drunk or something?
I don't think we did anything like that. I think we just wrote, stupid stuff.
Yeah, well, I for some reason it seemed to freak my mom out if she learned out into the ditch. I guess I get it, sort of, but it wasn't that big of a. I don't know. I guess it's a big deal. I guess if a massive rain came and we were washed away.
Yeah, that happened a lot.
Never happened.
In fact, I only remember once. There was one time that the police and fire department came to say that you might have to come out of the house. If the level got too high, you'd have to leave. It was one time it rained enough for that to happen that I can remember. Otherwise, it was nothing.
Like it was going to flood our backyards. Yeah. I think, you know, it's funny about that. It's funny you mentioned that because, as I mentioned, the north side of the ditch was Eastgate, and they were, I think, a little lower, a few feet lower than our houses were. So, and their fences, most of them were chain link. They didn't have block wall. I always thought if this thing floods, all those houses are going to get flooded first. I don't know if you remember that or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had a solid block wall along our side, and they had this mismatch of chain link fences and wood slat things and stuff like that. But anyway, So do you, what is your earliest memory of I don't know. Do you remember going on your bike, outside the neighborhood,
I can tell you a funny story. When I was five or maybe four, I told my mom I wanted to go to get Pop Rocks at Thrifty, which was Rite Aid now, but it's Thrifty then.
Right.
And I think that was Thrifty post the restaurant that was there.
Yeah, it was Thrifty.
I vaguely remember that restaurant. But I told her I was going to go walk over there, and she was on the phone. She's like, okay. And I walked over there and got Pop Rocks. By myself. And when I got back, she was freaking out because she didn't know where I was. And she got mad at me, and I was very confused because she told me I could go. I was four or something. I walked all the way to Rite Aid and bought Pop Rocks.
Where did you get the money?
I don't think Pop Rocks are that expensive. Well, so they might be able to find a dollar somewhere or 25 cents or whatever it was.
In the couch cushions or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't recall. I was so traumatized by the fact that I got in so much trouble for doing something I asked. But I don't recall much more of the information of how I got the money or.
Well, that is pretty young to walk like that's probably almost a mile.
Yeah, that's a pretty good walk. And it wasn't straight. It's not even a straight walk.
No, it's not. It's mostly through neighborhoods. You're not going to you're not dodging traffic or anything like that.
But right.
Still, it's pretty far for a five-year-old to go by themselves.
Yeah.
I had something similar happen. I was in first grade. I was at Patton, which was probably 2.5-3 miles from our homes. And I don't remember which third grader convinced me that it was a good idea to not take the bus and just walk home. But that took longer than I thought to walk that far. And my mom was freaking out. And I think I got majorly busted. But, I was first grade. That's pretty far.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe we're spoiled. I don't know. Maybe in the middle of nowhere back in the day, people walked a half a mile or more, 3 miles to school. I don't know. We usually took the bus or whatever. But I'm talking about it was a different time in that, we literally in the summertime when we were teenagers would be on our bikes or going to some liquor store somewhere to play video games or whatever and just be gone for hours and no one would know where we were. Can you imagine? I can't, my son's 15. I can't imagine saying oh, hey, go ride your bike somewhere. I'll see you in 6 hours. Leave your phone at home. Was it a more trusting time, you think?
Yeah, or more naive time.
Yeah.
I think everything that exists evil existed back then. But nowadays, there's so many more ways now to be a bad person. And B... I hear about the news.
We hear about it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I remember once, I don't know how, it had to be in the 70s.
Because I don't think it was any safer to joyride, hitchhike back then than now. It's still a matter of being at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Well, maybe. I never hitchhiked, but I heard stories from my mother when she was growing up that they used to hitchhike, and maybe the difference would be that back then a regular person would pick you up and not a creep. Now if you see a hitchhiker, you're you're not picking that person up, now.
But now you're more worried about what that person's gonna do to you.
Exactly. But
it's not the other way around. It's not the driver.
Well, maybe in the
bad 40s. Person there.
Right. Yeah, whatever. But I remember one time when in terms of something bad happening, I think Cheryl was coming home from Bell, the junior high or something. She was probably walking or riding a bike and somebody rode by her on Lamson and shot they had a staple gun that shot staples really, industrial staple gun. Mm-hmm. And they shot her, and then the police and it hit her arm or something and cut her, but that was it. They just drove away. Some kids are out to abuse people. I don't know. And the police came over and everything. It was a big deal. But I think it was generally safe to go anywhere. We used to I remember. I don't remember. A lot of these places are gone. There was a lot of liquor stores back then, but they would always have video games, and we would go, okay, that one has Space Invaders or that one has whatever. And I don't know about you, but I actually had a Schwinn Cruiser bike that I got, I think for my birthday in fourth grade, stolen at Stop and Go.
I had one stolen from the library over by Rite Aid.
Was it
locked?
It wasn't locked?
No.
You remember which bike it was?
It was much older. It was like a 10, I never had cool bikes because my dad wasn't a believer in cool bikes. He was a believer in like having more like a mountain bike or a 10 speed bike or stuff like that. Even then it had to be like a Huffy. It couldn't be a Diamondback or a Schwinn or.
Well, I didn't have any really, I mean, I had one cool bike. I think my first bike that was non-child bike was this bike that was like, looked like a motorcycle. And it was like, it had a big number on the front and everything. And it had these shockers, but it was super heavy. And then I outgrew it. And then, and you, I don't know if you remember this, but I got teased relentlessly. I think it was for my birthday. Like, really? He took my sister's bike with a girl's frame that was like pink or red and painted it silver and gave it to me. Like, here's your bike. And it's like, and as soon as I go down the street, like kids, like the older kids are like, that's a girl's bike. And I'm like, do you remember that?
I do not remember that at all.
And then
I think you're making it up.
I'm not making it up. And then I got that Schwinn Cruiser, which was red, super popular back then. And then I got that stolen. And I think my mom bought a used bike from John Dagren, which was like a former, I'm not sure if this is to use real names, but we're not talking anything bad. But it was like a Schwinn Cruiser that it was modified with like motocross handlebars, which looked really silly. But yeah, but we used to, do you remember playing ragtag? Like going in the summertime, like going over to like West Grove Park or like having a huge boundary of like Valley View to Lamson to the freeway where we would like throw like a sock with like a tennis ball in it and try to tag somebody on a bicycle. Do you remember doing stuff like that? Like all day long?
I never played that game in my life.
You had to have.
Ragtag.
Well, I think Darren made it up. I'm not sure.
I don't remember that at all. Maybe
I'd be literally gone for hours, you know, and I don't think I ever got in trouble, but you know, I don't know. Maybe it was a weird, maybe my mom wasn't paying attention. I don't know, but we could go anywhere we wanted. I mean, do you think a lot of people are riding their bikes? I mean, a lot of kids live there and they go to Pacifica or wherever else, our high school. Do you think a lot of kids are riding their bikes from like our neighborhood to like Bell Junior High? I doubt it. Do you think?
It's possible. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure buses still run there. Buses.
Oh, you mean school buses?
Yeah, school buses. They don't, like here, there's no school buses where I live for my kids to go to school. We have to take them to school.
There's no school buses.
There's no school buses.
Like, I've seen school buses where I live in North Orange County. I've seen school buses, and I think they're kind of required to have limited routes because of like kids who wouldn't be able to get to school otherwise. I don't know, but I definitely rode the bus back. I rode the bus to school. I remember like going down to the end of the street and waiting for the buses to come. And there's all these kids there and they were going to different schools and then we'd get dropped off. But like, yeah, the bus was kind of a dreary thing. It was kind of, I don't know. I don't have great memories about bus life. Do you?
I don't have any.
I don't have any negative memories either, though.
I don't have any traumatic bus stories.
So anyway, well, we're running into 45 minutes or so. So I think we should wrap it up. So I guess we should at least say that the reason why we kind of did this was just because of. We've known each other for so long. We had this unique thing, but you know, for the next episodes, which we're going to have focused on like different, more narrow experiences, like music in the 80s or jobs in the 80s or whatever.
And
we had lots of different jobs. We crossed over. We had jobs at the same places. And we can get into that later, but I think we should not neglect saying that this is not our first time ever kind of doing something like this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well, I suppose you're talking about the Scott Ritchie's and Talk Show.
I am talking about the Scott Martinez and talk show. Do you remember why? So we had this talk show that we recorded on audio cassettes. And then I guess we'd listen back to them and laugh at ourselves because nobody right. else
And they were recorded over it. I wish we would have kept a lot of them.
I wish we kept it. One of them. Do you have any of them?
No, but that's the thing now. Nowadays, kids, you do this stuff digitally. You can keep it a lot easier than you could back then. I mean, cassettes that you keep, but who knows?
They also deteriorate, too.
Yeah. But yeah. I just remember the Scott Martinez name. I got because John Davison had a talk show.
Right.
And so that's why I changed my name from Scott Martinez to Scott Martinez.
I know.
For John Davison.
I generally was the fictional guest star, right?
Yeah. I was the host and you were the guest star. Johnny Bench, I think, was the first guest. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Baseball Bunch or something.
The Baseball Bunch Saturday morning show. But I also think my next door neighbor claimed that when she was younger, she dated Johnny Bench. Does that ring a bell?
No, but I don't recall that. No, but
well, according to her husband, a few years later, I threw a can of spray paint into their backyard and it hit her in the head, which. And he was yelling at me, but I don't believe it hit her in the head because if a can of spray paint went over a fence into the backyard and landed and hit somebody in the head, they'd probably go into the hospital, don't you think?
I suppose. Or if someone threw a dirt clod at a car driving by.
For no reason.
Yeah.
And then they stop and then they're all pissed off. Like, why was I surprised?
Yeah. So you have a history of throwing things at things, so I don't know. Maybe you threw a spray can at your head.
I didn't throw. I actually did throw it, though. I was trying to throw it over all the way over into the ditch from the front yard, and it did go into their backyard. So I don't believe that it hit her in the head, though. But now the Scott Martinez and talk show, which I thought was funny I don't know how many we really ever did. Probably like four.
No, we had way more than that. I think we did a lot really? More than that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, except for Sasquatch.
Yeah, it's hard to remember.
I don't remember
that memorable, I guess, but yeah. It was Johnny Bench was definitely the first one.
Yeah. But it was always fun.
Yeah. I mean, I still remember the theme song. The Scott Martinez
talk show.
Actually, it's like this. I take that back. It went like this. The Scott Martinez talk show. Talk show. The special guest star, Johnny Bench. And then we'd have the cool noise.
Which was either a
fake fart noise or whatever noise we can come up with.
Fake fart.
We never planned what the noise was going to be at the end of that song. It was just whatever came to our minds at that exact second that was sounded silly would be
that's right.
The noise.
But little did we know that I'd be accused of actually commanded by a complete stranger to stop making fake fart noises.
Okay, well, you're pretty good. I can't do it. Can you still do it? I can't do it.
Fake fart noises?
Yeah. You put the air between your cheeks and then you let it out.
You mean like something like that?
I suppose. I can't see your face. I don't know how you did it. But what we did back then was you chilled your
I don't know.
Our cheek with air. And then we let it out, but in a different way that wasn't even like that. It was like I can't do it anymore. But that was the fake fart noise. It wasn't like something obvious. It was like we filled our cheeks up with air and then we squeezed it out through our teeth or something. Not with our hands or anything. Just like,
you're overcomplicating it. There's many ways to make a fake fart noise.
I know, but that was your official way of making a fake fart. That's when she said, don't make fake fart noise, kid. You were doing it that way.
Don't make fake
fart noise. I'm not denying that. But you had a special, unique way of doing it.
I did?
I can't.
I don't know. I'm sorry.
It wasn't that simple.
Okay. Well, I did remember. I'll never forget that. It was at Magic Mountain.
Right.
She said, don't make fake fart noises, kid. She was very serious about it.
Right. Well, she's very, because she probably was worried that you were making real farts. And then when she found out it was fake fart noises, she was like, oh, thank God it wasn't real, but don't do that to me.
Right. Right. Well, I think this is probably a good start. I mean, we're going to have to beg our many listeners to forgive us for rambling a bit, because this is our first episode, if you've stuck with us this long. But
The episodes will definitely be more specific to
things,
to themes.
Themes, that's right. We don't know what the next theme's going to be, but anyway.
But you'll find out when you listen in.
You'll find out, and it'll start getting really culturally relevant, the things that went on in the 80s. So you're not just going to hear about us playing wiffle ball and throwing dirt.
I'm sure that was exciting.
Yeah, I'm sure they liked it.
But wait, get it straight. Who threw dirt?
Me.
Okay.
Sorry.
There's no we involved there.
Okay, fair enough. But you...
And then it's a spray paint can and hit you in the head.
You were probably left holding the bag. I think there's been a couple incidents where I did something and ran away and you were left standing there.
Yeah.
Like you did.
I remember a time at Disneyland when we were with a couple of girls and that sort of happened. And then I was stuck with them. And I was only there because you begged me to go with them.
The Splash Mountain incident?
Yeah.
That was good.
And then all of a sudden I was stuck with these people I didn't even want to be with to begin with, because you decided just to leave because you were mad about something and left me there with them. So yeah, there's been some episodes of that happening.
Yeah. And me being cool in the car and on the phone.
Yeah. You're definitely cool on the phone and in the car. That's where you got your confidence. Yeah.
I guess. I had to get it from somewhere. Certainly wasn't getting reinforcement from you or anything.
Yeah. Just kidding.
Well, I guess we should sign off. We've probably neglected to mention that this was a Treetop Studios production. Is that what this is?
Yeah, Treetop Studios production. You had a whole thing.
With an association with DSB Studios or something like that?
I don't know. I'd have to look at what you sent me.
All right. So, well... Thanks,
Scott. We can have it later that we just record it. This has been a Treetop Productions, and then just like the theme song, you can add that in later.
Okay, perfect. All right, well, I'm gonna hit stop, and then
okay.
Bye, Scott.
All right, see ya. Sayonara.
Brought by Treetop Studio in combination with Scott Martinez and Productions.